Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, my impersonation of... you. This is Wretched Radio. If you're a mom or a dad, your child rather begrudgingly informs you that he or she is getting bullied at school. Perhaps your response has sounded a little something, man, like this. Well, toughen up. Well, hit him back. You're going to jujitsu class. Maybe, just maybe, there is a better way than simply telling our kids to toughen up. After all, when I was your age, there were 74 bullies every day that beat me up at school. So quit your whining, you snowflake, ya. The Bible speaks a better word on the subject of bullying. Tim Keeter, who has written Help, My Child is Being Bullied, giving a presentation at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors Conference. Go ahead and say that with me, or not. He spoke on the subject of helping the bullied child, and is always the case. What you are about to hear is so surprising. Because the obvious way to respond to a kid who is being bullied is to get him to get stronger than the tough guy at school, become a better fighter, or learn how to hide, or get him in trouble with the teacher. The Bible parachutes in to our homes even as we deal with the subject of bullied children and totally transforms our thinking and how we're supposed to deal with the subject. The Bible is sufficient. The Bible, while not using the word bullied child, nevertheless gets to the heart of the issue to help our child learn how to cope with the bully. Now, please note, of course, you're going to do everything possible to keep your kids safe. That's a given. But now the question is, if the bullying can't stop, or even if the intimidation lingers, how's your child going to deal with it? How are they going to not just not be afraid, or not just not despise the bully, or not be traumatized by the bully, but to actually, get ready for this, love the bully? Let's start where we need to start in helping our children deal with being bullied at school or on the internet. Do you know where the starting line is? If you had to say, this is where I'm going to start with my kid regarding the subject of bullying, where would it be? What's the first approach? What's the first thing that needs to be figured out? And I would suggest to you, the answer is I. Before I start to help my child's heart, I need to make sure that my own heart is right on this issue. Why? Because I have a loftier biblical goal with a bullied child than just teaching them how to fight back or to cope or endure or hide. I want my child to glorify God.
And of course, 1 Corinthians 10:31 needs to be our guide. That's what we're aiming for. We're not aiming to fix this thing necessarily or get relief. We want all of that. But we've got to aim for that through our ultimate goal of bringing glory to God, whether then you eat or drink, or if I may add, parent your children through a bullying situation, do all to the glory of God. That has to be our aim. God's glory is at stake here, as a matter of fact. It's not just, oh, that's a good thing to be a Christian and aim for God's glory, but His glory is at stake in how we deal with this and how these parents deal with this.
Doesn't the Bible just knock you out repeatedly? Hold on. Before you just respond in the flesh to your child who is hurt and you are inclined to get downright angry, and probably not of the righteous sort, We need to recognize what our goal in this is. I want my child to glorify God. And if I do nothing but blow up or give worldly, fleshly advice, I am not doing the very thing that I'm going to be wanting my child to do. And that is to glorify God, even as they live underneath the cloud of a bully. This is no easy task. And please note, by the way, this is no quickie. This is not intended to be, oh, you just tell your kid the magic word, give them the specific Bible verse, they're good to go. God has a bully in the life of your child so that your child, among other things, can be sanctified. So that your child can grow in their trust of the Lord. So that your child can learn to find safe harbor in Him, even as the storms of life rage and swirl all around them. And so it is, we begin helping our child who is being bullied by, if you will, helping ourselves. Because while God doesn't help those who help themselves, He helps those who want to help others by starting with helping themselves first. You go ahead and tweet that. That one's totally free. You can meme that one all you want. My goal with my child is that they would glorify God. So now let's get practical. Practical. Let's walk through this step by step. Principle number one from Tim Keeter. You got to assess the danger. You got to deal with it. If authorities need to be involved, do it. This is not to circumvent the practical. Deal with that first. Number two, who? You better slow your roll. Even though your inclination is to get furious that your child is reporting something that is really upsetting, we still have to be biblical. Remember, we didn't say that your kid is lying. It's just that we want to be biblical in responding to evil reports.
We also have an obligation to reserve judgment and trust the Lord. You know, early on, you just want to know so much. You want to know who's really involved, what all they've done, how they've gotten away with it till now. But we need to be careful. Not all threats are real. Let me just say this. And not all eyewitnesses are infallible, including ours, including our children. So it's wise to reserve judgment till we've gathered enough evidence to discern what's going on. Proverbs 18:13 is a common reminder for us counselors, isn't it? That he who gives an answer before he hears it, it is folly and shame. And we don't want to be fools as we work with these parents and their children.
This is a phrase that will help you, and we have to deal with this a lot these days as reports of women being abused. The phrase that often gets cast out is, you've got to believe the woman. I think there's a better phrase. We take the woman's accusations seriously. That's a safer phrase. Why? Because there can be times when a woman is lying. Ditto a man. Ditto children. Or they are interpreting it wrongly, and so we must take it seriously. We don't just, well, I'm just going to have to wait. No. I'm taking this very seriously. Because one way or another, sin is going on. Either you're getting sinned against, or you're sinning by lying about somebody who isn't really sinning against you. Either way, we got a sin problem. This is serious business. Then you go about the business of investigating to reserve judgment about people and about God.
It's also important to reserve judgment about God during this trial. Why is he allowing this to happen? I would encourage parents this way. Trust what we know about God and what we don't understand. When we don't understand the extent or outcome of them, we trust him. He understands. He knows. And we tell him in our prayers that even though I don't understand, I want to trust him anyway, and I want him to help me do that.
Once again, you got to put the air mask on your face first. Make sure that you are dealing with your own heart as you deal with your child's heart. Tim Keeter taking us through responding to the accusations that your child is being bullied step by step. Number one, discern what's really going on. Reserve judgment about the situation. Reserve judgment about God. Then you need to do what we need to do in every situation where we're confronted with a dilemma. Ask God to lay out a fleece. Now, wait a second. That's totally wrong. Hold on. I'm sorry. I don't know where I got that from, because that's not what the Bible says we're supposed to do. We're to pray to God for wisdom. Pray to God for discernment, and then seek wisdom from perhaps other parents who have dealt with a similar situation. Then we gather information. graciously and humbly. We can be angry, but we cannot sin as we go. And even in the midst of this, which is a difficult situation to deal with because it involves our child, you and I should have great expectations.
Expect only good from God. I think this is an important place to land, to make sure that we know. That's such confidence in Romans 8. We know that God causes all things, even trials of bullying, to do what? Make us more like Christ, to conform us, to be more like our Redeemer. And that has to be more valuable to us, even than relief from the trial. And God's goodness is all through that passage. His purposes, his love, his kindness even ends up in verses 31 and 32. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can really be against us? We know people are against us, but the contrast is so great between God being for us. Who can really achieve being against us? Who can really dictate the end result of their actions? And the answer to that is no one.
Even as we see our children hurting in one way or another or multiple ways, we still expect good from God. Why? Because God is good and he loves your child even more than you do. And he wants to help us overcome evil with good, which is what we will endeavor to do next on Wretched Radio. Would you like to see every tribe, every tongue, every nation come to the Lord Jesus Christ and sit in a church under the faithful preaching of a pastor who exposits the word rightly? Of course you would, and so would Dr. John MacArthur.
It comes down to pastors, like shepherds, like people, like priests, like people, as Hosea says. People aren't going to rise higher than their pastor. They're not going to go beyond what they've been taught and what's been modeled of sound doctrine and godly living. So this is the answer to everything. It's all about leadership all over the world. This is, in my mind, the great untold missionary story around the globe. It's multiplication at the highest level, training pastors. They are the multipliers of the church around the world.
Would you like to see people get saved and soundly taught? Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, an outstanding ministry of John MacArthur, wretched.org/pastor.
It's another day and another Wretched Radio. Hey, we are grateful and thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, with your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and yes, even your snarks. You can contact us in a couple of different ways. First, you can send us an email at idea@wretched.org, or you can leave us a voicemail, 1-877-282-BEEP. Whichever way you decide to reach out to us, know that we are looking forward to hearing from you. Just like this recent email we received from Jelena, who says, I love listening to Wretched every day. It has been integral in my sanctification and growing closer in my knowing, understanding, loving, and resting in the Lord. So send us those Wretched stories. Send us those questions, those comments, those conundrums, and even those snarks. Again, idea@wretched.org, or leave us a voicemail at 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Well, here's something you'll almost never hear a talk radio show host say. Don't be like me. That's right. A talk show host saying, don't be like me. Why? Because we dilly-dallied regarding MediShare. We learned about affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to traditional health insurance, which saves on average $500 per month per family. And we thought, And the next thing you know, over 24 months went by before we got serious about investigating MediShare. We did. It passed the Friel family sniff test, and we are very happy that we are members and only lament that we hadn't done it sooner. So please, don't be like me. Check out MediShare for you and your family. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Call now. 1-844-34-BIBLE.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, I am the Lord your God,
who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got a bullied child? God has got some help for you and your child. This is Wretched Radio. So often as parents, we just want to fix it, fix the problem, tell our kids what to do or think. But we so often overlook the heart of the issue, which of course is the issue of the heart. Helping our child to grow in Christ-likeness, even in the difficulties of dealing with a bully. This is a higher view. It's also a longer road to take. This is not a quick fix to the bullying problem, although you certainly want to deal with the practical issues. We want to take a biblical long view of helping our child grow in Christ-likeness, even as they are being intimidated at school or on the internet. No easy ask. And it is imperative that you and I model this for our children. If you and I blow up, start swearing about the kids' parents, yeah, that little ruffian, I know it! Mom and Dad, always drunk! What are we teaching our child? Well, not godliness. And so we start with our own hearts, then we do heart surgery on our own children. And it is fiddly work. It is very delicate what we are dealing with. Tim Keeter, the author of Help My Child Is Being Bullied. By the way, this presentation is available on our new resource, Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3, available at wretched.org. You are going to hear how the Bible deals with an issue like bullying in a bigger way, in a more profound way, in a more helpful way, and in a more counterintuitive way. How do you and I want to deal with our child's bully? Bully him back. Punch him in the nose twice as hard. All right, when he hits like this, put your guard up like that. Kick him in the shins. Get a taser. All right, now, some of those things may or may not be practical, but we need to help our children to deal with their hearts in not just beating up the bully, certainly, not just putting up with the bruises that a bully inflicts, but to overcome their evil with good.
But if you go back to the beginning of Romans 12, recall what it says about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then we get down to verse 14. It's not a jump. It's not a change in direction. It talks about people who do evil to us, who sin against us. And so if we carry that first part into this, when we get to verse 14, bless those who persecute you. We see this. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So connecting back to verses 1 and 2, if we're thinking and acting and being conformed to the unredeemed world, then we will curse those who wrong us. And we will even seek to exact revenge. We are renewed in the Spirit and growing in the Spirit. Then we will not only refrain from cursing and vengeance, we will actually seek to bless those who wrong us.
Well, well, well. Who knew that Romans 12 could apply to your child who is being bullied? Vengeance is the Lord's. We leave room for His wrath, which is superior to ours, rightly motivated, completely under control, and way more thorough than we could ever imagine. And that is what we need to teach our children. To rely on the Lord to exact justice, because He's going to. And this, by the way, is a very practical way that you can help your child move from being scared to actually perhaps not just being, okay, well, it's not so bad after all. All right, I don't maybe despise that guy. No, actually, the more I think about that kid, the more I'm concerned about that kid. Oh, no, that kid's in big trouble. What am I talking about? Romans 12. It gets into about verse 17. Vengeance is the Lord's. Let Him repay. That is God's territory. His jurisdiction is justice. And so when our child is getting hurt, we need to teach them, you don't hurt back. That's not what Christians do. We are ones who love our enemies, and we return evil with good. And one of the ways that we can help our children grow through that is by studying the doctrine of hell and what it will be like for the bully if he doesn't repent and put his trust in Jesus Christ. Think about that. Your bully, perhaps your bully, mom or dad, whoever it happens to be, if they don't repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to perish for eternity in a lake of sulfur where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know we have a tendency to think, oh, it's the lake of fire. A lake of sulfur. Have you ever been to the sulfur mines? I think they're in Montana or Wyoming. They stink, like really awful. That's just one nauseating implication of that descriptor, which is no doubt worse than the description itself. That's what somebody is going to be enduring forever and ever and ever. And if you take that time to focus on that with your child, this is just one aspect, your child's heart could get softened. Wait, you mean they're going to, hold on. Now, I'm worried about the bully. That is how we can overcome evil with good, by having a tenderized heart, by remembering, if our minds are being transformed, we are remembering that vengeance is the Lord, and this can play out in very practical ways.
At the very least, we pray regularly for the bully. We want to ask God to help us forsake anything within us that promotes these sinful, vengeful attitudes and responses, and to help Christ help us plan even to show kindness to the bully when we get an opportunity in one way or another. And we can coach them up those specific situations. By the way, aren't you grateful that God did this and even more for you? Were we not his enemies?
Oh, there's another helpful implication of Scripture. If you will, not that we could even kick God in the shins, but we acted like a bullier. We were at war with God, hating God, casting stones by using his name in a lowly way, living in a willfully silly, sinful lifestyle, desiring that which is not good. And yet God loved us. That will help your child's heart. And so in order to do that for your child, you need to get in there and you need to figure out what is actually in their heart.
As we understand in Scripture, the heart is not just our emotions. It's the seat of our reasoning, our motives, our thoughts, our affections. In Luke 6:45, Jesus calls it our treasures. Out of the evil treasures of an evil man's heart comes forth what is what? Evil. Out of the good treasures of a good man's heart comes forth what is good. It's our emotions, our conscience, our will, our desires, all that wrapped up in the inner man, what the Bible calls the inner man. And that generates our behavior, not most of the time, but all the time. I heard John Street one time say, you never do what your heart doesn't tell you to do.
And that's why he wrote a book called Passions of the Heart. It had to do with pornography. It was just a different sin category. Our hearts, if you will, the control center of who we are, our inner being. That's the important stuff. Yep, we protect our kids physically, but we are after the heart.
So how do we know what's in the heart? We're not God. We can't observe. We can't unzip and look inside and see. The heart is deceitful above all things. We can't discern it. Who can? God can. His word cuts deep and discerns it. And He's given us something that we can observe that sort of redirects us back. And that's their behavior. That's how they're acting and behaving in certain contexts. We can start with how they responded, what was going on, and then back up to what were you thinking or what were you wanting? And then we push back into that because our behavior reveals that.
You can't figure out what's going on inside of your kid, but God can with his word rightly applied. So tell me, when you see the bully coming, how do you feel? What are you thinking? When you're lying in your bed and you're remembering the day and the bully comes to mind, what would you like to do to the bully? What would you like to see? And we then can have revealed to us what is going on inside of our child's heart, specifically what their treasures are. Are they building up a stockpile of sinful treasures or of spiritual treasures? Are they reaping, sowing to the flesh or to the spirit? Now, perhaps as you're listening to this, you're going, my child is 10. I'm supposed to be doing this with my kid? And the answer to that is absolutely. We want to start early in teaching our kids about the importance of spiritual treasures.
And this is key here, okay? Number three, teaching them about the good treasures that replace the sinful ones. Notice that turn there. If sinful behavior flows out of sinful treasures, then righteous behavior will flow out of what kind of treasures? Righteous treasures. That means that we don't just start with, oh, well, the next time this happens, you should just do this, or you should just say this. And now we're piling up all these formulaic ideas that, this is just, I need to say what my dad says. We want to go back to, hey, if I was wanting this and it produced this sinful behavior that I needed to repent of, then what does God say I should be wanting instead?
In other words, you're going to help your child grow in sanctification. And isn't that what you want for your child? Consider the power of asking your child what is going on in their heart at the thought of the bully. Now, we put a biblical label on that. We call it what it is, sinful, wanting to exact vengeance that doesn't belong to us. That means we need to repent of it and do what? Trust the Lord. And that long goal, that lofty process that you are endeavoring to do with your child way beyond just keeping them physically safe is that they would become more conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And isn't that what we all want for our children? The power of biblical counseling. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Joe Biden's administration issued a temporary halt to health and safety regulations on abortion drugs yesterday, which now allows abortion facilities to sell the dangerous drugs through the mail without ever seeing a woman in person. Pro-life leaders warn that the change will put women's lives at risk, as well as their unborn babies, and increase the risk of coercion and abuse. This action from the Biden administration applies to FDA regulations on the abortion drug mifepristone for the remainder of the COVID-19 pandemic. To protect women, the FDA requires mifepristone to be provided in person by a medical professional after the woman has had a checkup. The drug, which is one of two taken together to abort unborn babies up to 10 weeks of pregnancy, has been linked to 24 women's deaths and thousands of serious complications. But the abortion industry wants all safety regulations gone. Of course they do. It claims that the drug is safe and effective, but it wants to begin selling it through the mail after just a brief online consultation. And the president's order will allow abortion groups to do just that. The abortion drug is currently used for about 39% of all abortions in the U.S., and with the safety regulations gone, that number likely will increase. But abortion advocacy groups have ignored the numerous problems with mail-order abortions, including how women seeking abortions online know without seeing a doctor how far along they are in their pregnancy. Abortion drugs don't work well after 10 weeks of pregnancy. Nor do pro-abortion groups mention how abortion drugs can be deadly to women if she has an undetected ectopic pregnancy, something a doctor visit would detect. But that's no longer a requirement because of this action. Then there's the problem of coercion and abuse. There are many stories of women and girls who were pressured or forced to abort their unborn babies. In one recent case, a Wisconsin man was accused of buying abortion drugs online and slipping them into his pregnant girlfriend's drink after she refused to have an abortion. In the U.S., mifepristone has been linked to at least 24 women's deaths and 4,000 serious complications. Risks include excessive bleeding, severe abdominal pain, an infection, and hemorrhage. Meanwhile, pro-life leaders are working hard to pass protections for mothers and unborn babies. They have been urging the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to protect lives by keeping the safety regulations in place. Many states have also been passing laws to increase safety requirements for the abortion drugs, including requiring in-person checkups with a doctor before the drug can be provided. And more Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Helping your child not sin when they're being sinned against. This is Wretched Radio. No small task being a Christian parent with a child who is being bullied. We want more than physical safety. We want our children to not sin in response to sin. That's right. For our children, if you've been perhaps at the dinner table pondering or musing with your spouse, when are our kids going to grow up? Maybe, just maybe, this will help them to stop just dealing with the surface issues which need to be dealt with in the instance of a bullied child, but to go deeper with your child and to teach them what the Christian faith is really all about. That is what biblical counseling is ultimately about. Here's how to live in light of God's word, applied to your heart. And God wants a heart that does not sin in response to sin. How much could that grow your child? How much could that set apart a child in looking different than the other kids? If you're having conversations like this, your child comes home, they've been bullied, and instead of just going off the handle yourself and basically acting like an even bigger bully toward the bully who's bullying your child, you think, I want to glorify God in this. I want my child to glorify God by growing in Christ's likeness. I realize that the heart is a treasure chest, and it is either filled with sinful desires or righteous desires. I want them to not be populating their treasure chest with sinful desires. I want them to have righteous thinking, righteous emotions, a will that is under control. That's what I want for my child. Question. How do you do that? Tim Keeter tries to answer.
So here's the first one, moving from escaping unwanted emotions toward patient hope in God. We can easily slip, and I can see this easily, even in my own life, from wanting this something so much that it becomes an idolatrous desire. Even something that is okay to want, like relief from this. For the bullied child, it can be tempting then to focus on wanting to be free from the intense, painful emotions that are real. To the degree that that desire to be free of those becomes a sinful treasure that generates sinful behavior.
We want to make sure that our child is not being an idolater when they're being bullied. Because our fallen, our unredeemed flesh, it desires vengeance, wants to get even, and it certainly wants relief from the pressure, but it can be elevated to the point where we worship that. That becomes our all-consuming passion. I want to escape this problem. And that is sin. And so we want to direct our child's heart from not merely wanting to seek relief. Nothing wrong with that want. It's when it becomes a need that it's problematic, because that means you're putting that desire onto the throne of your heart, and God wants to be sitting there. This is no easy task that is set before the parent of a bullied child. So what exactly can you be looking for?
Here are some outward behaviors that you may see, for example, that may be an indicator in that direction. They may say things like, I don't want to talk about it. It just makes me feel awful. Or they work to control or suppress those feelings in unbiblical ways. This is pretty common. Stuart Scott calls this a false refuge that we may turn to rather than repentance. It can look like finding refuge in other things, meaning that when I'm upset, I'm just going to go run to this thing to comfort me, whether it even be things like hobbies or food or different forms of entertainment or other things more outwardly and very obviously sinful, like cutting, alcohol, drugs, or even a complete loss of hope, leading to a desire to end their life, which we've been hearing about. If they don't see a way out that will bring relief, they can become hopeless. And we want to take this seriously.
That is why, pastor, parent, you need to be shepherding your child through this. Not just get over it. Not just let's just move on. We've talked about this enough now. You are shepherding your child's heart. Hey, that's catchy. You are trying to be that gentle shepherd who protects them from the evil that resides in them. Specifically about not becoming an idolater, desiring something, relief from a bully, so bad that when you don't get it, you're crushed, you're devastated, you're depressed, you're without hope, and you can ultimately take your life. Bullied kids do. Why? Because they have an idol of safety. If you're hearing safety isn't an issue, that's not what's being conveyed here. Safety is an issue. It's just not the issue. Our hearts are the issue. And we don't want our kids to bottle it up. We don't want them to never talk about it. We want to have them talk a lot, but to shepherd them through that. Not fix them, not tell them, but to teach them and disciple them. Help them to understand their own hearts, to see what is in there, and then to replace it what should be in there, and that is thoughts about God and Him and His goodness. But there's more.
We want to move from a bitter spirit toward compassionate kindness. So here are some possible signs to look for: bitterness or anger, obviously, toward the bully or those who joined in, even teachers. So we've even seen times when, hey, that teacher didn't protect me. They can be replaying the event over and over in their mind, maybe even fantasizing about what they should have done or getting revenge on them, imagining bad things happening to that bully, or just expressions that say, I just wish I could get even or get them back. Or my personal go-to when I was younger, if I'm admitting this to you: why does everybody think I'm stupid? I'm smarter than all those idiots.
Signs that our children has a heart issue, and we want to get up there, in there, and help them to not be bitter, to not be angry, but to actually put on compassionate kindness.
We want to help them put on compassionate kindness, even towards those that do them wrong. How do we do that? Let me suggest a few things. Philippians 4:8 really tells us about where this begins, and that's meditating upon things that are true. I'm thankful early on that Jay Adams talked about this thing called a think list. Have you guys ever heard of a think list? He would just refer to Philippians 4:8 and say, listen, we need to control our thinking. And therefore, if we need to control our thinking, then we need to practice thinking that is godly. And if we need to practice thinking that is godly, then we need to have, if we're going to change in that area, then we need something structured that we can use. And he would just call this thing a think list. It's a short list that we may use to remind us of different truths that we practice so that we're not improvising during trials and times as they come upon us. We've been training our hearts through indwelling scripture and memorizing and little statements that summarize them and bring those truths back to mind.
Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind by thinking about God and theology. And then when the bully comes walking down the hallway, your thoughts are not fleshly initially. They're spiritual thoughts. They're filled with compassion and kindness. Of course you want to deal with the practical stuff. But more than that, we want to deal with the spiritual stuff.
And in particular, in Philippians 4:8, I think there are three of those things that we're commanded. Right? We're commanded to on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. There's three in particular that might be helpful in this situation. Thinking from God's point of view. We've been talking about that with perceptions, for example. How does God want me to think about this? How does God think about this? And that's where the gospel overlays when we see the position that someone who sins against another image bearer puts themselves before God. Admirable thinking means reflecting on the good in the other person as opposed to fault finding, at least moving into that. Lovely thinking, considering how you can serve or build others up. So we talked about overcoming evil with good. That includes the bully. That includes other people, our teachers, and those involved with this. Helping them look towards compassionate kindness.
Who would have thunk that parenting could be this spiritual? Which is exactly what it's supposed to be. Tim Keeter, speaking at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors Conference, helping us help our own hearts first, then helping the hearts of our children deal with a bully. Can you just imagine a TV show where this was shown, that somebody who's dealing with an issue like this is actually walked through it? Well, we did. And so we are creating a brand new TV show on biblical counseling. If you would like to be one who is counseled on TV for the benefit of yourself and for others, please visit wretched.org/casting. Wretched.org/casting. We would love it if you would participate in this show on biblical counseling. One last thing we want to help our children with who are being bullied:
moving from fear of man toward fear of God. God warns us about, if I can define fear of man, about developing an over-anxious concern about what others think or how others view us or how they act towards us.
A fear of man is a snare. How do you get rid of it? Fearing the Lord. And that, too, is a goal with our child who is being bullied. In other words, it's the same stuff we're supposed to be doing with them every day. teaching them to trust the Lord more, love Him more, be grateful to Him more, see Him as stronger than everything, more desirable than anything. And then our children will learn how to not just respond to the physical concerns of being bullied, but the more important spiritual aspect. You can hear the whole lecture, Rabbi Biblical Counseling 3 at wretched.org, while you're going to wretched.org/casting. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
You've no doubt heard about this subliminal advertising nonsense before. You know, commercials that are supposed to have hidden messages in them. Well,
become a Wretched Gospel partner.
Wretched firmly denies any use of this so-called mind control.
Become a Wretched Gospel partner.
After all, Wretched is entertaining and charming enough.
Go to wretched.org/donate.
I mean, what's not to love about helping to reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel?
You're getting excited.
A ministry that's ECFA approved. So you know your donation is going to wise things.
That's getting your attention.
In fact, 83% of every dollar goes directly to ministry.
Take out your wallet.
So let's go ahead and put this subliminal advertising nonsense to rest. Nobody can do your thinking for you.
Become a Wretched Gospel partner.
You either want to become a Wretched Gospel partner.
You do,
or you don't.
Yes, you do.
Wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to 44321.
If you happen to be a Tomorrow Club sponsor, this is going to thrill your heart. This is Cindy Marty, one of the leaders of the Tomorrow Clubs with her husband Paul, sharing a story of the impact of a Tomorrow Club kids Bible clubs meeting weekly in Eastern Europe. The story of a young man named
Arzenia. Literally, he was like a street rat. He repented, came to know Christ, and then he became like a helper in his Tomorrow Club. Then he became a leader of his Tomorrow Club and a director. And now today he's directing about 40 clubs.
The impact of the gospel in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider becoming a sponsor of a Tomorrow Club? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids like Arzenia. They're getting saved. The churches are getting revitalized for $30 a month. Please consider becoming a sponsor at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now it's time for some painful full disclosure. This is Wretched Radio. All of the things that we just heard Tim Keeter talk about regarding a bullied child, when I heard about those things going on in the lives of my children, I did none of them. Now, one, my first reaction, what? That little, oh, just perhaps like you did. And that is why I sure do wish that I had been introduced to biblical counseling years ago. Sure, part of it is spiritual maturity to boot. Nevertheless, we are to be those who are growing in compassionate kindness, even for bullies, and helping our child do likewise. Was that on your radar screen when your child reported to you they were getting bullied? Jimmy, I don't know if you ever had a situation.
Well, you know, All of my kids are black belts in judo.
Good. Excellent. Good thinking. See, now that's one way of dealing. And that's not even necessarily wrong, that self-defense is a wise thing. Jiu-jitsu might be better. I'm not sure, but I think jiu-jitsu
probably so
might be better because it just takes the guy out. It doesn't seek to like hit him in the face. It just uses weight and leverage and these holds that are just scary fast. Fine, do that. But don't make the mistake that I did and overlook the more important stuff. And in doing this, if you can do this, especially at a young age, and not do it in a way that feels kind of intimidating and a bit overpowering with your child, but really walking alongside of your child, these will be the sweet bonds that are built so that when they become teenagers and those bonds are tested, you'll have more threads in your tapestry of love for one another. And it will be stronger by doing this deep soul work with our children. Once again, permit me to do a shout out regarding biblical counseling. We've got a resource, Drive-By Biblical Counseling 362 lessons, short ones on the subject. Yes, bullying, cutting, self-harm, eating disorders, suicidal ideations. All of these subjects the Bible speaks to when we frame them biblically. And all of those lectures are available at this resource. Life-changing stuff. Just life-changing stuff is what it is. And Jimmy's actually shaking his head because you had to listen to all of these lectures and you did a bang-up job putting all of these things together.
Well, thank you.
But you even commented, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Not exactly what I was expecting.
No, it wasn't. And it wasn't what I was telling people at all. I mean, I really got corrected here.
I think I know the implication of that. Honey, guess what I have to do at work next week? And instead, you are blessed by it because it's absolutely so shocking and it's so counterintuitive and it's so profound to see the Bible applied. I most of us tend to think, you know, the Bible is sufficient. It's good for all of life and godliness. But when you see it like a laser pinpoint a deeper problem than anything Freud could possibly imagine in his delusional, depraved mind, whoa, this is so cool. We're doing a TV show, Thrilled to Pieces About This. One of the goals of this year ministry is to produce biblical shows that reach people through media, social media, radio, and TV, so that people can be shocked at the sufficiency of the Bible. So we're doing a biblical counseling show. We are looking for people to be in it. You struggle with a particular issue, we'd like to know about you, and if you're willing to be on TV with us to basically do a counseling session with Dr. Greg Gifford of the Masters University to walk through the issue step by step in an 8-step process outlined by Wayne Mack a number of years ago, how to work through whatever your issue is. Simply visit wretched.org/casting, wretched.org/casting. All the details, the form is there. Fill it out, and then we'll be reaching out to you. Would love it if you are close to Atlanta. We would like for you to not have to fly with a mask on your face. We'd like to be close enough to you to actually come to your home. So visit wretched.org/casting, wretched.org/casting. Jimmy?
Yes.
I actually have some good news today.
You got my application.
Jimmy, it's only a 30-minute show.
That's why I got sent back.
We don't have enough time to deal with you and your issues.
Sorry.
Or me and mine. But this is why every church needs, we all need to get good at this.
Yeah.
If you became a biblical, like a certified biblical counselor at ACBC, which you can do at biblicalcounseling.com, you're going to be counseling yourself more than anybody else. You are going to get your emotions under control. You are going to not think the first thought and assume that it is truth. You're going to entertain it as a possibility, but not as a certainty. And you are going to filter it through God's word, which means God is going to correct what your evil heart is concocting out of your heart, bubbling up wrong intuitions, wrong senses of what's going on. And the Bible grabs it and says, nope, this is how to think. And so if your thinking in any way is kafritz, and it is, because mine is, because Romans 5 tells me that everybody's is. We all suffer with the noetic effect of the fall, which, by the way, is what we wanted to call this new TV show, The Noetic Effect. That was my favorite name. I lost, because it is a great reminder that our brains are busted, and biblical counseling puts them back together again. So I encourage you, if you want to be in that show, wretched.org/casting. Here's some good news. Believe it or not, Jimmy, there is a little bit. I have to save these to even come up with a couple. As the weeks go by, oh, there's a good one for Christians. In Michigan, the university can't punish the Christian club for requiring leaders to be Christian. Wow. I didn't know that that was going to court, a federal court. Said to Michigan, you cannot do that. You cannot kick out the Christian club because they want the people in their club who are leaders to be Christians. Now, please note, this particular Christian club, they didn't care if the people attending it weren't Christian. That's part of their mission. But they wanted their leaders to be Christian. University of Michigan shut them down. They sued. They won. That's good news.
Well, it doesn't even make sense.
Why?
That anybody would want to shut that down. I mean,
that's because it's intolerant, don't you see? It's not inclusive. You're being judgmental, and you're being intolerant, and you're making people take a vaccine. I'm sorry, that was the wrong thought. That was because that would be intolerant too, and I'm sure they're not. Or they are making you believe this about marriage or genders. They do it, but we can't. Just ridiculous. I mean, PETA, are they going to have somebody on their board that wants to beat up puppies? No. They're going to want somebody on the board who believes in, you know, their mission. And the same thing is true for Christians. Good news number two, coming from Great Britain, Blackpool, England. Judge rules town discriminated against Franklin Graham event. Turns out that I remember this story. I think this is actually like 2 years old this started, when he was going over there to do a Festival of Hope. Yep, in that place, spelled like that, in 2018. He went there, but they didn't want him there. And a lot of people wouldn't promote it, and they tried to shut him down. In fact, I think they were successful. Judge rules they discriminated against the Franklin Graham event. Now, does that mean that all of the discrimination against Christians is over? No, but we should at least report some of the good news when it occasionally happens, shouldn't we? And speaking of reporting, yep, segues are us. Speaking of reporting, about a week ago, don't know if you saw the story where a rapper fellow apparently created a Nike-like tennis shoe, but put a drop of human blood in it. His name, I don't even know that I'm saying this right, frankly. Lil Nas. Nas?
Yeah, Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X.
I'm relevant.
You sure are.
I just heard the story. Look at that. Multiple times.
You moved from Tennessee to Atlanta, and suddenly you know Lil Nas X.
I'm cultured now.
Yeah. Well, Lil Nas X made the TV show, or made the tennis shoe, rather, and then he went on the TV show Saturday Night Live. I just don't even. Okay, so the skit basically was Britney Spears has a talk show. It's a joke, of course. And Lil Nas is on it talking about his shoes and how he worships the devil and all of that stuff. And so to be an equal opportunity offender, something like that. There was somebody who did something really inappropriate with a person who was pretending to be Jesus. Vile and blasphemous. Headline from the Rolling Stones, SNL, Lil Nas X addresses controversies on Britney Spears' talk show. Huh? This is from USA Today. Lil Nas X addressed controversies with Britney Spears. So how did they frame the blasphemy of a vulgar act with the Savior? Hey, they're just talking about the controversy. Hey, they're being super blasphemous. Was that reported? Of course not. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.